Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to our latest podcast. I'm still figuring out this music set. I think I hit the mute button too soon, but I see you're on the line. Sid, are you there? Well, we have a little technical problems here. I'm trying to get Sid connected from Arizona. Hello, you there?
You there?
All sorts of technical problems, as always. It had you yeah, on live,
you
but for some reason you didn't hear me. So can you hear me now?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Okay.
I couldn't hear you before.
that was your talking ear.
Anyway,
we need to get this
welcome
all figured
to our
out.
Podcast.
Oh, boy.
It's working, thank Jeez. God.
Jeez, wow. Yeah,
so
hi, Iowa. I'm actually on Radio Row and at the Super Bowl. And you've been to the Super Bowl before, right? A couple times.
Yes. Yeah.
It's quite an experience. It's more than I thought it was going to be.
Well, I hadn't been there for God years, and so I know it's even bigger than when I went. Especially, I went pre-internet days before there were as many radio things and podcasts and stuff. So I imagine it's huge, even huger than it
yeah.
was.
I mean, I can't tell what is Woody Page. I cannot tell you how you can't even see the other side of the Radio Row. This is open space, and I mean, it's hundreds and hundreds of radio stations all here broadcasting pretty much the same thing.
Well, Sid's down there because we, for the first time in Outsports history, got a credential, and I think we explained before that had Peyton Manning been there, I would be on Radio Row, but once they went bopped out by the Colts, Sid's the man there, so he's having fun. Plus, as a bonus, his favorite team, the Patriots, are playing. Now, he will not be cheering for the Patriots on Sunday because he'll be in the press box, and there is a longstanding no cheering in the press box rule. So you can cheer silently, quietly, but nothing vocal.
Yeah, oh, no, I will be cheering very quietly. But, even still, you know, this is so much more than just being here to cheer on the team and, you know, talking to people about the issues that we write about, trying to talk to them anyway. So many people are, like, following the same storyline, Marshawn Lynch and the defense of the Seahawks. And now you're asking questions that are just, you can see the guys like, I don't know what to do with that.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about, because what's interesting to me is this is a year after Michael Sam came out, and before the season started, I would have thought this Super Bowl, because I figured one of us would be going this year, just the NFL was probably certainly going to give us a credential, that this would be the hot topic of conversation. Gay players in the NFL, Michael Sam's first year, et cetera, et cetera. Well, Michael never wound up playing in a game and was cut, and I believe it was early, mid-October. So it seems like that whole gay issue has kind of dropped off the radar. I ran into Bill Plaschke at the LA Times the other day and asked him if he's going to ask about Michael Sam and the whole gay thing, and he kind of looked like, oh, well, that's old news. So what you've been down there. What have people been saying to you when you brought it up? Have people talked about it? Tell us anything that would be interesting to know.
Well, so storyline, in the past when I've come to these things, you know, when we've come to these things, we've asked about, you know, what do you think of a gay teammate? Would your team be able to accept a gay player and all that stuff? And I've asked a couple of those questions, but I've really been focused on trying to get some real answers about why Michael Sam is not in the NFL. Not only why didn't he get on an active roster last season, but why has he not gotten a futures contract yet? That's the piece that people kind of raise their eyebrows like, wow, yeah, you're right. That's a little odd. Because
well, can you explain a futures contract to people?
Oh, yeah, yeah. So after the season's over, teams can go and sign players to a futures contract. It doesn't cost them any money. It just means, you know, if you sign on this dotted line, we own your contract. You're going to be with us in the preseason and training camp. You know, we want you. We want the rights to you. Just, and many, many players have been snatched up by teams, you know, players that were on practice squads or players that weren't on teams in the regular season. They've been snatched up. The fact that Michael hasn't even been snatched up by one of those yet really raises people's eyebrows when I bring that up. Like Steve Weiss, I was talking to him, and he was like, wow, that's crazy. So that piece of it, because when I talk to people, they say, oh, well, you know, Tim Tebow, you know, college success doesn't necessarily mean success in the NFL. But when I talk about the lack of opportunity that Michael has had, that's when they start to understand the issues that we have with how the NFL teams have treated him.
Well, because to be clear for people listening right now, and there's still some time for this to happen, but Michael doesn't even have an invitation to even try out next year for a team. It's not a matter of, oh, he's going to be on a team. It's been given the opportunity to say, hey, I'm going to see if I can make this team. He's not even getting that opportunity as we speak.
Yeah, and that's – so, you know, there's one thing to talk about success, but what I'm really talking about with people is opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't know. Like, he could be – Tim Tebow, he could have great college success and then just walk into the NFL and fail. But the fact of the matter is, he hasn't been given the opportunity to fail. And I was talking to one executive with an NFL team who just tried to have an answer for everything. Well, you know, it's this or if you. He just kept saying, if he was good enough to be on the team, he was good enough to be on the team, he was good enough to be on the team. And it was weird. It was like this canned answer that they had thought through 100 times. It was odd. But that's obviously the answer that they want to put out there. I don't think teams really want to talk about this right now. But some of the guys do, and a lot of the media does.
Now, when and again, we'll be writing about this. It'll be more in depth. But have you spoken to any players, active players, about it?
Yeah, I mean, I've talked to some of the. So this morning, the Patriots and the Seahawks both had their media opportunities, and every player and every coach is there. And I went to talk to the defensive line coaches of both of the teams because I figured they would have the best insight. And they had some insight for me. But, you know, when I'm talking to the players, they just – again, I talked to guys on the defensive line. I also talked to Jonas Gray and Brandon Bolden of the Patriots. They just don't want to talk about it. Like, it's clear they just clam up. I could ask them about movies. I ask them what they do in their free time. When I ask them about Michael Sam, like, they freeze. So it's tough to really – I've just kind of stopped asking current players because I know I'm not going to get an answer. I'm just going to get either fear or nonsense.
What do you think the reluctance is, the fear of saying something wrong, or just the idea that this still is, unfortunately, a issue of discomfort to people in the league?
I think it's both. I think it's a hot topic because they don't want to say the wrong thing. They know they'll get destroyed if they say the wrong thing. And you know, a lot of these guys are trained to say the right thing. So, you know, it's a non-answer. They don't want to get involved in political discussions. They want to talk about football. They'll tell you about their favorite movie, and that's about it. So I think it's the way they've been trained. They've been trained to shut up.
So even in general, talking about, have you tried to even talk about people about gay issues in general? Do you have gay relatives? I mean, or has it simply been about the football side of it?
You know, I don't think I've asked anybody if they have gay relatives. I suppose I could. Somebody opened up to me and told me that they have a gay relative, that they have a gay daughter. But yeah, it hasn't been my line of questioning. I suppose I could. I mean, I'm here for a couple more days, and tomorrow I'm going to spend all day trying to grab people on Radio Row. So, you know, there are a lot of big players and coaches and what have you that come through here. Troy Aikman was down here about an hour ago, and unfortunately I was with the Seahawks, otherwise I would have loved to try to grab him. But you know who I did run into? I ran into Josina Anderson.
Oh, okay.
Josina was the ESPN reporter who filed that report back in August about Michael Sam's showering habits, and she said, so I was with Steve Weiss from the NFL Network, and Josina walks over and she says, Josina, this is Sid Zig with Mouth Sports. She says, oh, I know you. you're the one who came after me. And I said, yeah, I'd love to just talk to you about it. I mean, she's like, okay, yeah, we could talk about it. You track me down later in the week. So she knew exactly who I was, which was kind of funny.
Oh, yeah, because because I know she was, this whole thing really took her by surprise. You know, I felt at some level she was kind of, I mean, it's the perils of live TV. And that was part of the problem, is they put her on live for what should have been a taped segment. There was no break, but ESPN has to make it sound like everything live is going to be breaking news. And so she said something that was stupid about Michael Sam's shower habits. And so, yeah, I mean, those are the kind of things that I think that shows you how funny we've been dealing with this, thinking, oh, my God, it's this. It's accepted and people are comfortable, and it's still a lot of discomfort, unfortunately, at this top level over this issue, which should be. And you think someone would say to you, who cares? Non-issue. I'd have no problem, you know,
right.
Whatever. Instead, they kind of clam up and they feel they're afraid to say something, and it's actually really discouraging.
Discouraging has been the overall theme of, I mean, I've only been here for, what, not even 24 hours. I've only talked to a handful of people, I've talked to a number of top people in NFL media. Like I said, a couple coaches and a few players, but discouraging is the operative word that not only I've used, but other people have used, particularly in the media. They can't explain it. So it's sad. And somebody asked me, do you think that we'll have another Michael Sam in the draft this year? I said, under no circumstances is anybody coming out anytime soon. This set us way back. And he was like, well, I really hadn't thought about it, but you're probably right. And, you know, you and I have talked about this. I think you even wrote a column, or Anthony, somebody wrote a column about how.
You know, I wrote about how this has got the chilling effect. And I mean, I think if anybody were to come out, it would be, at most, would be an active player who somehow has job security. But even that, I think, is probably really remote. And, yeah, I mean, it's discouraging is such a good word, because I think the problem with this whole thing is you're never going to find the smoking gun, correct? You're never going to find, oh, we didn't like the guy because he's gay. They could always point to performance, and you're never really going to know, and that's what makes it even adds to the discouragement.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, but you know, on the flip side of, you know, the NFL is, I think, front office anyway has certainly been good about this. They've opened their doors to us. I mean, here I am, a gay reporter who's super gay. They know I'm here to ask gay questions. They know I represent a gay publication. I'm standing here on Radio Row watching Archie Manning say hello to Gil Brandt. I mean, at least the front office is doing a lot of the right things. It's just, you know, when it comes to push comes to shove, having a gay player on the team, they're just not doing it. Though somebody did say to me, if he was J.J. Watt, this wouldn't be an issue. And I agree with that. If he was, you know, the resume and skill set of Jadeveon Clowney, he would have been drafted in the first round. But if it wasn't first, it would have been second or third.
But that's kind of, in some ways, discouraging, too. Is that the standard? You have to be freaking J.J. Watt to come
right
out of the closet? What if you're Jerome Mincy, who's been sort of a journeyman defensive lineman with Jacksonville, with Denver, with Dallas, who's been good but not great? With Jerome Mincy, and he kind of struggled because he was on a practice squad, and he's one who encouraged Michael, saying, hey, I did it. I went from practice squad to think. Would a gay Jerome Mincy get a chance? And that's the question. J.J. Watt, certainly, but someone who's in those margins, you kind of wonder now.
Well, a year ago, we said that the beauty of Michael Sam coming out, when he did and who he was, it would answer every question we had about the NFL and gay issues. And it did. And the big question left is how, if not, are the front offices homophobic? Do they consider somebody's sexual orientation? But how much do they? We now know that. I think that's the question I'm trying to get answered, you know, in the next few days, talking to people.
So when you talk to the Seahawks and the Patriots today, and you said they were uncomfortable, did they say anything, or did they simply kind of mumble a sentence or two and then shut up?
No, it was Jamie Collins. Just I've heard that he's kind of just a different kind of guy, and he said, "Listen, I just don't talk about that stuff. I don't talk about anything. You know, just You know, if you want to talk about football all the time, I just don't talk about anything. And then I said, well, what do you do in your free time? Oh, I love movies. But he wouldn't tell me what movies he liked. He was just kind of an odd guy. But then when he talked to Brandon Bolden and Jonas Gray from the running backs and the Patriots, you know, they were like, listen, I just don't care. I don't think guys in the locker room care. We want to win the Super Bowl. It's that standard, we just want to win thing. So that's the best I've gotten from players. They just there's not a lot of interest. And of course, so the guys that I've talked to, I haven't gotten to talk to Vince Wilfork or the big superstars, the leaders of the team, because they're surrounded by media. I've been going to the guys at the tables where there's just no media or very little. So it's, you know, I'm talking to some of the backups or some of the, you know, starters who are kind of, you know, off the media radar. Defensive linemen, for crying out loud. There's not a lot of interest for the media talking to defensive linemen.
Well, ask the kickers. They're all gay, so one of them will come out.
Well,
of course, Cluey used to joke that, right? But that the punters and the kickers were all gay anyway.
I'll tell you something, though. I now know the most attractive unit in the NFL, and that is the Patriots receivers. Amendola, Edelman, Gronkowski, Brandon LaFell, Bill, that is, they are smoking hot, every single one of them. It's ridiculous.
Well, I forgot Amendola in my gay guide to the Super Bowl on the hotties, and some reader helpfully pointed a shirtless picture of him. So yeah, he'd be definitely one to add. Now, I wish that Jamie Collins had asked about movies. Oh, I really love that Beyond the Candelabra movie, and Milk really moved me, and The Birdcage was wonderful. And
I asked him about Batman. He lit up about Batman. So that was the most I got out of him. But I just didn't feel like he just didn't seem like a bad dude. He just didn't want to talk about it. And I think that's most of the people just don't want to talk about it here. Particularly the guys ready to play a game in a couple of days. They remember Chris Culliver 2 years ago saying the wrong thing, and it was immediate. It was a disaster. So the players playing this weekend are not going to tell you a damn thing.
Well, no, it'll be interesting to see when you talk to players who are still active but not in the game, if you're able to get a different response, because they're going to feel they're not going to have that pressure of having to play in a couple of days.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I haven't had the opportunity really. I mean, they're everywhere. It's just they're all over the place here. I just haven't had the opportunity to grab them, and it's not so easy to grab them on Radio Row, because they're kind of being, a lot of them are handlers, and
yeah,
that's, you know, and God, hey, what I have been saying is, you know, I write about social issues, and the first question I ask them is about distractions and how do they manage distractions. And what's so interesting is a lot of them, including the coaches, talk about the benefits of distractions, the need for distractions, this idea that people have to, you know, study football 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The guys, what I asked about it, they'd laugh. They're like, nobody does that. So that's kind of, I've been asking people about that, because that obviously the distraction thing has been a kind of a storyline with Michael Sam.
Well, yeah, I'd be curious to see what you find the next couple of days. As I said, I was surprised there's been no media asking the questions during the first two media days, which I thought might be a natural question for people, but it's kind of like Michael Sam is so yesterday's news that he's off everybody's radar screen, even the media who are asking questions.
Yeah, well, I'm here asking them, but
I'm talking about the non, you know, sort of people who were the mainstream the first 2 days when you weren't there for the media days.
Right.
They weren't asking those, because I was searching the transcripts. I was trying to find angles to write about.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, nobody's even brought it up once, and except for Michael Bennett telling some reporter that he looks like he loves balls, which wasn't, you know, is what it is.
So here's the thing. I think this is what, from what talking to people in the media, and this is what people have asked, why the media doesn't pay attention to Michael Sam, because Michael Sam is not part of the NFL news right now. What they're focused on in the NFL media is the scores in the next game and how people just performed. I mean, you know, on Monday they're talking about the previous night's game. By Tuesday they're talking about next week's game and the matchup. And a lot of them have said February, this Michael Sam will be a story. That's something that they will focus on and talk about, because now it's off season. Now is the time to talk about it. And so
it's
anyway,
also the one-year anniversary. Yeah, February 9th, the one-year anniversary of him actually coming out publicly, so it was a perfect peg.
Yeah. And one of the funny things is a lot of people...
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Just one quick observation.
Sure.
As I was driving out here listening to NFL Network, NFL Radio, and all the players and coaches, they're all coming on, picking Seahawks. A couple people picked the Patriots, but they kept saying how the entire city is overrun by Seahawks fans. It's going to be a home crowd advantage for the Seahawks. First of all, I just haven't seen many Seahawks or Patriots jerseys walking around. It's mostly fans from other teams who are here. But the other piece is you can't really tell what's going to be inside the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
How many people actually have tickets? Like, I was behind two Seahawks fans at Starbucks an hour ago. They don't have tickets. They literally turned around and said, oh, you have a media pass. You have extra tickets. Like, no. And the guy showed me, if you go to the NFL ticket exchange, the cheapest ticket you can buy in the far bleachers right now on the NFL ticket exchange, $9,500.
Yeah.
Good.
You know, if you don't get in for free with a media credential, and really not worth buying a ticket. I just, you know, at the end of the day, you're watching it on TV, and if the game stinks like last year's, you can just go enjoy your food. But
yeah, exactly.
What was interesting is we've had this month two stories that for us have kind of gone viral. One is one you wrote on Troy Aikman saying, you know, basically denying the whole gay issue came up, and he made an awful crack. You think about he didn't choose to be, you know, not his choice, lifestyle choice. And one I did this week that was just for fun that really took off, it was the gayest logos in NFL history. And it was pegged on the Patriots' old logo where the guy was bending over, hiking the ball. And I just did this sort of goofy thing about, you know, picking the three with the Tampa Bay Bucks' old logo. It just had spawned a ton of traffic for us, but also all these comments because it was on Yahoo, and a lot of people thought I was straight writing it, and I was being accused of being a homophobe and all this stuff. And so the comments on that story are priceless because everyone's sort of attacking me for, you know, you'll get yours, and this means it's okay to say gay. And then the people who maybe in their own way are somewhat homophobic are defending my right to say it. Don't let the PC police. So you had given me one about the gay logos that some other people posted about the Miami Dolphins. I'm still trying to figure out what's so gay about that dolphin logo.
I don't think dolphins are gay. I don't know. Dolphins are kind of the gay animal. I don't know what to tell you. Well, this Kenny Stills. It's just crazy.
The one I missed.
The
Vikings was one I missed. Steely McBeam from the old Steelers, which I had totally forgotten about. And the one who's probably the gayest of all is Sparty, but he's Michigan State. He's with the Michigan State. He's real, you know, muscles and huge.
The old University of Hawaii, that's the craziest. I mean, that's like some gay-looking leprechaun with a rainbow coming out of his ass. I mean, that's really, really gay.
Yeah, so I this was an NFL thing, but, you'd have Michigan State, you'd have Hawaii, but it's funny that how some of these stories just have this way of taking off, and they hit a button even when they're supposed to be goofs.
Yeah, for us, we like to have fun with this stuff. It doesn't have to be serious all the time, and these are just kind of fun plays on being gay and stereotypical gay that we just don't think is particularly offensive. In part, I think because we're the ones writing it, but these
straight
people.
That's the point. Bingo, right? Marginalized groups are always allowed to mock their own stereotypes. Chris Rock could get away with saying stuff that you and I could never say in a million years about black people. So we could say this stuff. We can make fun of it because when we say that's gay, it doesn't mean it in an offensive, you know. And that's why I think a lot of people initially missed because the story was on Yahoo, which, you know, isn't a gay site. And so people were just up in arms. I was getting this hate mail, and it was just one guy said, you're going to be destroyed on social media. And I wrote him back and said, please explain how, and I never heard back from him. So,
well, and when I wrote, it was over the summer, I think, I ranked all the teams on how gay they are in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
and people, again, you know, this you know, demanding of attraction and demanding the story be removed, and just have this fun with it, because we have, not all gay people have lost their sense of humor.
Well, plus, this is the stuff we all talk about with our friends and people we watch football with, right? All the time. This is the stuff, and the same thing, I think, for other groups. The same way Latinos say, they talk about, because we play flag football with a lot of guys Latino, and the stuff they say about Latinos, like, you would think, oh, my God, you talk about politically incorrect. But to them, it's funny, because it plays off this stereotype that everyone else has of them, and they're able to laugh at it. And so, yeah, this. But it's interesting to me with the Internet how, I mean, I wrote that story just for the hell of it. I feel like doing this. And it was played off the Patriots thing and how stuff takes off, and then how it winds up having a certain reference to people, like, this gets them incensed. And I'm not writing about, you know, politics. And so it really goes to show that the NFL, especially with the Troy Aikman stuff and this, is just a king in terms of getting people to talk.
Well, our traffic counter isn't mad at it, so we'll live with the incensed straight reader.
All right, well, let's get on quickly in the last couple of minutes to the game itself. I want to get either a pick or a feeling or whatever. As I wrote, this is my least favorite Super Bowl going in because I can't stand either team. People say, who do you want to win? And I said, well, I don't want the Seahawks to win, but I want the Patriots to lose. So I'm not sure if that makes any sense. But as a game itself, I think it has the potential to be an excellent game simply because they're the two best teams in football this year, not a question. I have no vibe. I took the Patriots and Outsports 23-20, but I just don't have a real feel. What is your sense, or what sense you got from talking to people? Or,
well, like I said, I think most people here are picking the Seahawks to win. They just keep talking about that defense. But I think maybe people realize the Patriots' defense got pretty good this season. And I'm just interested in watching how the Seahawks receivers are going to get open, because, you know, the Patriots play a lot of man-to-man, and the Patriots DBs are just better than the Seahawks wide receivers. So that's a big part of the game that I'm curious about. Obviously, the running game, Marshawn Lynch is going to run the ball a heck of a lot. He'll probably be half the offense for the team. So it's going to fall on his shoulders too, and then how the defense plays. I mean, how it's, there's so many pieces to this. You could look at it so many different ways. I don't have a pick. I mean, I'm going to have to make one because you and I have a bet. I'll try to make it by tomorrow. But I just can't pick. I don't know. I mean, part of me says that the Patriots are going to confuse Russell Wilson with their defense, that Tom Brady is going to play a smart game, and the Patriots will run the ball and move the ball down the field, and the Patriots are going to win by 14 points. And then, today, the Patriots were so, tight. And the Seahawks were so loose. And it was just a different vibe on the two teams. So that maybe they're, shit, here's Troy Aikman. Should I try to talk to Troy Aikman?
Well, we're almost done with this podcast, so when we're done, you can run over and see if he'll talk to you. That would be a story. I'm kind of like with you. You can convince me the Patriots will win big, the Seahawks will win big, it'll be close, so... I kind of lean to the idea that I don't see Seattle moving the ball on offense. But in every Super Bowl, like a lot of you could have totally fluke plays that determine it.
Yeah, you just don't know. I mean, nobody could have possibly guessed it would be Seahawks minus 40 last year. So,
yeah, exactly.
I'm just not going to make a public prediction, because I just think predictions of games like this are stupid. Nobody knows what's going to unfold in that game. I'll tell you this. If the Patriots lose, though, and Tom Brady plays badly, I'm just going to be so curious to see what they do with him. My guess is he's going to get another season with that team, but if he plays again badly in another playoff loss, I don't know if it's tough, because he keeps playing badly in these losses, so to the Patriots. So that's what I'm going to be most interested in watching. If the Patriots,
that's for another time. We're running out of time. Sid, enjoy the rest of the Super Bowl, and we will talk to everyone next week.